What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 94, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out. And talking about us, what's up, Derek?
Not much. How you doing, Bob?
I feel pretty good. Sunday morning, you know.
Yeah.
Just woke up, so doing the podcast in the morning instead of at nighttime, so.
Yeah. Bit of a busy weekend. Had to force a morning podcast on him.
Yes.
It's a nice Sunday, though. I don't know about you. We got nice blue skies. If it wasn't 30 degrees, it'd be just like a nice place.
Yeah, exactly. It actually feels good to be up this early, so I'm not hating it, so.
So you ever sell anything on Craigslist?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay. So I don't usually, but we've had this extra car ever since my wife got a new car years ago, and it's just been stored. And we're like, okay, we need to get rid of this thing. So I put it up yesterday, and I put it pretty cheap because I just want to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And I have been getting just hammered with emails from Craigslist, like can't keep up with them.
That's not good.
I mean, it's good and it's bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, but like, you could like have people bid against each other on the car.
Yeah, and a junker, an old junker, pretty much. But it's just I've never, because in the past when I've ever put anything up, you know, you get a couple hits or whatever, but it's usually pretty slow. And like within like an hour, I had like 10 emails.
Maybe it's the price. It's all about that price.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So well, cars are a lot different too, because a lot of people, they might not have like the credit to get a car. You know what I mean? Like, like buying
a cheap car and it's whatever they can get.
Yeah. So a lot of people, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's my theory on it, but yeah. Well, that's that's something interesting to start the podcast.
I just thought it was funny. You know?
Yeah.
It's semi-tech related, right? It's the internet and such.
No, I haven't sold anything on Craigslist in a very long time. Usually, like if I sell something, I go on like specific forums for whatever I'm selling, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because that's usually where you get more traffic. But I mean, good that Craigslist is working for you. So So let's jump into tech this week.
Sure.
And we'll go to our reviews. And this week, we talked about it last week, but this week I have been, and I'm still using, the Samsung CF791 34-inch curved widescreen monitor, and I am in love with this display. I think just in general, so my whole thing with this review was going from two 1080p displays to a single display. And if you're a dual screen guy, going from a dual screen to a single screen is kind of intimidating, because I don't know, you're just not used to it, and I've been a dual screen guy for probably close to 10 years, so
right.
You know, it was interesting, and I am fully on the like team ultra wide for sure. You know, even if this monitor didn't have anything else, just going from two screens to an ultra wide, I love it. I don't have any, you know, borders in the way, and I don't have to drag things anymore. And just that aspect of the monitor is great. But with this monitor, this is an amazing display. The biggest thing about this, it uses quantum dot technology. And, you know, you hear these words come out of marketing people's, you know, mouths.
Typically gimmick stuff.
Yeah, but this really isn't a gimmick. It's a true technology, and basically what it does, I don't want to dive down super deep because it's very scientific-y and all that, but basically it makes the colors more vibrant. So when you're actually looking at the display, especially compared to another display, your colors will be more vibrant, and a display will be brighter. So those are two things that if you're looking at a display all day, you obviously want. And especially if you're doing, you know, if you're doing any serious video editing or any serious photo editing, it displays the correct colors. You know, it actually displays.
That's the idea, right?
Yeah, it actually displays 125% of the sRGB spectrum. So this display is great if you're doing anything like that. And of course, everything you're looking at is going to look great on this display. Yeah, so it just that aspect of this display is awesome. But on top of that, It has a 1500R curve on it, which is a pretty big curve for this size display.
Yeah,
it also is it also is 100 hertz. So again, this display is not specifically for gaming, but 100 hertz is so much better than 60. And it does have FreeSync, so you know, you have all that together. So it's basically, for me, this is the perfect monitor, because I, while I'm not a hardcore gamer, I do like to game. So having that 100 hertz and the 1500R curve is great. But I also do a lot of photo editing and video work, so having the widescreen display, the quantum dot, like everything together with this display is just perfect for me.
Nice.
I really like it. Yeah. It is an expensive monitor. It is not cheap. It is $950. So
yeah, definitely up there.
For most people, this is an investment, but I feel this is, you know, this display is going to outlast any PC you have, you know, and
yeah, again, just in that vein, I have a Samsung display that I've had for at least, yeah, like 10 years. Like you were saying, it was like one of my first, and I went ahead to it with that, so.
Yeah.
Samsung makes a really long-lasting display for sure.
Yeah, they do. And it's, like I said, it's just a good display. And one thing that's the actual, this isn't a huge deal for a lot of people because they'll probably just set it up and not move it, but the actual adjusting the display up and down is so simple. And for a big display like this, again, 34 inches, like moving it up and down on a lot of monitors, it's kind of finicky, and because you're having such a big display.
Yeah.
But with this, it's so simple. Like I can move it up and down with like a finger.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that good. So just a great piece of hardware. I love it. I don't think I could ever go back to a dual screen setup. Coming, you know, like
yeah.
Just like when you go from a single screen to a double screen, you're like, I'm never gonna go back. This is kind of like the same thing. And
it's
again,
just the next evolution.
I didn't mention this is a QHD display as well. So I can easily have two full screen windows open at the same time. And it's not like I'm kind of crunched in there, you know?
No, you're definitely not losing any pixels.
Yeah,
I like the idea that you can have a couple of different, like you can have Photoshop or Lightroom or Premiere or something open. And then you can also have, you know, another full window open on the same display with the same exact color settings. Which most professionals, you know, you just buy two of the same monitors, right?
Yeah.
But, like, this is literally, it's the same, you know, lighting source, right?
Yes.
So it's, you're, no variance. That's really cool.
Yeah, like I said, I really like it. And, again, you know, if you, this is, like, again, it's super great for being productive and doing video and photo work. But at the same time, you do get some of those gaming features as well. So again, if you are a gamer, this is just as good, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really like it. Definitely check out my review. I go into all of that in detail. So it really is a great display.
Nice. So what? It's 125% RGB. What is it? Or sRGB? What is that? Did you have the Adobe's color gamut?
Percentage? Not offhand.
Okay.
Not offhand.
I was just curious.
But it, like, again, if you would just put this next to your current display or anything, you'll immediately notice the difference.
The Samsung that I'm on, which is 4K and newer, it's only 75% RGB. So it's just the older, you know, older tech. And then you step up to that and you're at 125. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really great. Again, very, very impressed. You know, we see a lot of monitors and things like that, but this one really impressed me, so I really like it. And I feel like it was made for me because it pretty much suits all of my needs.
Going to be a little sad when it's got to go back?
Yes. I'm kind of putting that off. I haven't emailed them yet.
Oh, yeah. One thing that I noticed when I was clicking through, I like that it's just fully assembled out of the box.
Yeah, so the biggest pain, it's not a pain.
It is, though. No, it is. You're totally right.
Yeah, because so when I got this display, it comes with the stand attached and everything.
Yeah.
You just pick it up, connect the wires, and you're good to go. So with a lot of them, it doesn't come with a stand, so you have to, you know, either use screws or whatever, and then you take your brand new display and you have to put it upside down sometimes.
Yes,
and
like cringeworthy every time you do it. Yeah.
And especially with this is a curved display, You know, so I think that has a lot to do with again the hinge design on the back that allows for the easy motion. I think the way that that's designed, I don't think it's a
way to have an easy customer assembly.
Yeah, they also do include a VESA mount, which is nice.
Oh, cool. So like an adapter?
Not an adapter. You actually have to take this stand off and install the VESA mount.
Oh, onto the same kind of. The same swivel.
Yeah. So, but that's nice because a lot of companies don't.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to the website and buy one. This one comes with it as well. So,
cool.
But yeah, really, really great display. I love it. So
awesome.
Maybe buy one. Who knows? It really helps me be very productive, and that's something that is obviously for a lot of people is worth money. You know,
time is money when that's your work, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So, really like it. Definitely check out my review. Do some research on Quantum Dot. I had to do my research when I was doing this review, and, you know, it's pretty cool technology. So
yeah, not everybody is like, as far as, industry wide, they don't all agree that it's necessarily like the best that's out there, but it's certainly one of the best.
It's not the best. So the best that's out there currently is OLED.
Right.
This screen, if it was OLED, would be $4,000 maybe, something like that. So this is basically the in between, right? So this is going to give you the best that you can get for much cheaper, much lower cost than OLED.
$980 actually for what you get here is actually not a bad price. It's a lot of money, but for what you're getting, it's not a bad price.
Yeah, and again, you know, if you're somebody that one is using your setup, your PC setup professionally, you're a photographer or you're a video editor, having the correct display is an investment in your business or whatever you're doing. Also, if you're somebody like me who's, you know, posting news stories and doing a bunch of stuff, you need a good display that allows you to be productive and it's not hard to work with. You know, so again,
so you feel like you're reading from like, compared to dual monitor, like, because we often, you know, you'll read from one page to write to another or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or you're getting information from one and putting it onto another. Do you feel like that is actually faster on this than dual monitor?
Yes. It's just, I'm not moving my head as much. I don't have to look between borders, and it's just a much better experience.
It's more fluid.
Yeah. So again, going from two screens to an ultra wide, I'm a huge fan of the ultra wide. Even if this was a crappy ultra wide, right? Say it didn't have quantum dot. Say it didn't even have the curve. Say it, you know, wasn't 100 hertz, but it was just this screen size with this resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I would be a fan.
nice.
It just eliminates two screens. It saves space on my desk, which is awesome. You know.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say for anybody who's thinking about an ultra wide. In my experience, again, this is the first one that I've used, but again, going from two screens to one screen, I'm a huge fan of the big one screen now.
Awesome.
You know, you just have to make sure if you're getting something this size, it has the correct resolution. Obviously, you don't want an ultra wide that's like less than the, you know, this is 2.5 times of 1080p.
Right.
You know, so something, you get something along that size, you're going to be happy, and it's just going to make everything so much better.
Awesome.
Yeah, so really, really like it. Like I said, guys, check out the review. The video on it will be up this upcoming week as well. So I did a whole video on it. So definitely like it. Don't want to give it back.
Yeah, maybe they'll hook you up with a discount on it.
I actually might consider that because it really is a great display. So going from something completely different, Silverstone sent us this really cool PC remote kit, and Derek and I talked about this after we got off air last week about this and how he originally thought there was no use for this, but I changed his mind. So they sent us their ESO2 USB, and that is a PC remote switch kit. What it is a cool little kit, DIY kit, that you can install on your system and basically have a on and off as well as restart remote switch, much like you would have like a remote starter for your car.
Yeah.
And it's one thing I like about it, it's a DIY kit, right? So you kind of have to you install this on headers on your motherboard, blah, blah, blah. I think that aspect of it is pretty cool for somebody. There's not a lot of DIY stuff anymore. You know, when it comes down to, like, doing stuff to your PC, like, there's not a lot. And that's how I kind of grew up with PC stuff, was kind of like, you know, everything was DIY because certain things. So that's one thing I like about it. Two, again, as I mentioned to Derek last week, there are some use cases for this. You know, most of us, either you have your PC on all the time, which there's a lot of people, or if you are turning your PC off every night, we would hope by this time you have an SSD and your boot up time is super fast anyways.
So it doesn't matter, yeah.
So it doesn't matter. But there are some great use cases for this little device. The biggest one that I guess Derek and I agree on is that if you have a home theater PC that's either stuffed away behind your home theater or in your home theater, or you know, one of those little home theater PCs that you kind of mounts into the back of your TV, getting back there and pressing that power button is not all that fun.
Not only that, but in a home theater setting, like, you've got your remotes, right? Or a lot of people have a universal remote, right? And you just don't want to get up for anything.
Exactly. So this you know, solves that problem. Another use case is if you're working in some type of secure facility where PCs are behind a certain thing, right? They're behind they're in a locked cage, or they're in a locked rack or something like that. This can easily, we need to reboot that machine. Boom, hit the button. I don't have to open a cage, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third use case, which isn't a big one, but again, if I have a PC at my office and I walk in, hit the power button, go get my coffee. By the time I sit down, my PC's ready to go. I don't have to wait for it to boot. But it's a cool little kit. It's like $24. It's not expensive. Super easy to install. You know, it's just a cool little thing. And I think that, you know, if you think of some type of use case for you, this would be useful. So I think it's pretty cool.
I actually would guess that the majority of these get sold to just in PC enthusiasts who just want a cool little remote for their computer. So they want to go to a LAN party and be like, check this out, click.
Yeah, and that's cool. I like that. Yeah, I don't think there's enough cool little enthusiast things out there like this anymore. Everybody these days is on RGB, like everything.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is a cool little thing. I'm a fan of it. And, you know, Silverstone's one of the only companies that makes something along these lines. So very cool. And like I said, very inexpensive, $24. And it teaches something. It teaches you about USB headers on your motherboard.
which I would hope if you are going into there that you know what that is. But
yeah, but I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, there's so many people that have built their own PC, but then they, you know, the only thing they really know how to do is like replace memory or something, you know?
Yeah, and maybe they followed the guide and they knew where to plug something in, but they had no idea what it was or what it did.
Yeah, so it's a little learning experience for some, might be for some people, you know what I mean?
Potentially, you could get somebody into modding and stuff.
Yeah, talk about that. That's a good segue into Case Mod Friday.
Did that on purpose.
This week, for Case Mod Friday, we have a build called Green Lantern, and it's from Richard Keir. I can't say his last name. I actually met him. Really cool guy. Most people know him by Made by Keir. And this is one of his scratch builds. It is very interesting. It's definitely a show build. But it's very well done. I wouldn't say it's his best work, but I do like it. I love the whole color. Green Lantern. So if you're, is that Marvel? Is Green Lantern Marvel? I think.
I'm not sure. I think it is.
Yeah, because like Marvel did all the movies. Like, right?
Yeah.
It's not. I don't know. But anyways, it's the Green Lantern character. This is themed after that. So you have a black and neon green color design here. And I don't even know how to explain this. I don't know if you can explain this build.
Okay, so I think that the best thing is that the typical graphic for Green Lantern is holding up his ring, you know, on his finger, and like it's this bright light. This green light that covers everything, and I think so he's got the reservoir, he's got a tube reservoir stuck at the top of it, and I think that's supposed to be like the ring lighting up, right?
Okay.
And the rest of it just kind of has theme stuff from that throughout it, which is, it's actually, it's really good work, but it's kind of obscure to most people, I would say, and Green Lantern kind of took kind of a negative connotation with the latest movie. It's not the most beloved of the
I haven't even
comic
seen it.
Movies. It's
so,
not, it's not good.
Yeah. But I think this is a really good build.
This is a good build, though, yeah.
It's a completely scratch build, so he built the entire case and everything like that.
Yeah, I suppose we should try to describe what it looks like. If that, maybe that's what you're trying to get me to do.
It's kind of hard to describe.
Yeah, but like, it's a vertical mounted motherboard, just like you would find on a typical PC, left hand for the in outs in the back. It's got two, like, and then that's like, so it's vertical, and then it's got a like a shelf that it sits on, and then beneath that is a couple of radiators, and then on the back side of that, he's got the reservoir, and what else has he got back there?
Reservoir,
the pump, run straight into the pump.
The graphics card is under the table.
Under the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, this is pretty difficult to describe.
Yeah, this is like one of the ones that's like pretty hard to describe, but I think it's a good build. I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely something you would... like, at a show, you would sit and look at a lot to see what's going on. It's very simple. It's very clean.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was like, I don't know. This is, like, extremely simple build, but I think it's very unique. Mm-hmm. And he gets the colors just perfect.
Yeah. And I, to be honest, he probably spent a ton of time on this because there's all of these CNC backlit pieces, like, just custom little... pieces of acrylic and stuff all over the place on it.
Yeah.
They're actually really cool. If you're a Green Lantern fan, this would probably really do it for you.
Yeah. It's a cool little build. You know, and he's had a couple other ones recently that have got a lot more attention, but I don't think this one did, and that's another reason why I wanted to feature it, because it was just done really well. And it's just different from what we're used to seeing, so...
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so definitely check it out. Made by Keir.
I hate the lighting in these photos, though.
Yeah, these are bad photos, but
yeah, that's okay. You can still see.
Yeah. But yeah, really cool. Really cool build there. And like I said, guys, we always have tons of case mods in our entire Case Mod Friday section. A lot going on there. So definitely check that out. And we will go to news. And this was the big week for announcements and things and all of that. So we'll start with the big thing, is that Ryzen came out this week. If you haven't been following PC news.
Wait, what? What's Ryzen? Describe this for me.
That, of course, is AMD's brand new CPUs. And the 1800X, 1700X, and 1700 all came out this week. And
which is the top three parts.
That is the top three parts. So 1800X is the top part. Down from that is 1700X. And then down from that is the 1700. Now, the biggest thing with these is we didn't get our part yet. So we don't have our review. But really? Obviously, being the great researcher that I am, is that we have a list of a ton of reviews. So if you guys want to check them out, we have them all listed on the site. But
it's a pretty good reference here.
Yes. So the biggest thing is, you know, we saw all these crazy benchmarks from AMD, and now the chips are in the hands of reviewers, and at least most of these reviewers are not biased, which they shouldn't be, you know.
Shouldn't be.
The biggest thing with Ryzen is that it is a performer, much like we have seen from AMD. When it comes to pure CPU performance, as far as crunching numbers, doing encoding, you know, doing the heavy CPU stuff, it pretty much outperforms Intel, especially when it comes to price on these parts.
Yeah.
You know, but one thing that's interesting about these reviews is that when it comes to gaming, you know, these parts don't compare, or they're
not even close, though.
They're obviously a step up from AMD's previous architecture, right? But when it comes to gaming, especially 1080p gaming, they fall far behind. The 1800X still gets beat by the Intel Core i7-7700K.
Which it... That wasn't even one of the chips that it was being compared against.
Yeah, so what's really interesting is 1800X obviously has been getting compared to the 6900K chip. In CPU performance, that is very true. But when it comes to gaming performance...
Multi-threaded CPU performance, right?
Yes. Yes.
Because in clock for clock, it's slower, right?
Yes.
All around.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. So I would say at the end of the day, there's a couple things. One is that AMD has responded to this gaming benchmarks, and they have said, you know, things need to be optimized for our architecture, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if that's, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. we've never heard anything like that from AMD before.
Two, you know, if you're a CPU guy, right, you're encoding video, mm-hmm. you're doing calculations, the Ryzen chips are great alternatives to Intel, especially when it comes to price, right?
Yeah, hands down.
If you're a hardcore gamer, you're buying a gaming rig, at least right now, Core i7-7700K system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you must have more cores, just to have more cores, 6900K, or whatever you want from that.
But. Yeah. Obviously, there's a big discrepancy in prices on that, but yeah. I think that most people...
Dollar for frame, essentially, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 7700K.
Yeah, so, you know, I think for most people, a 7700K system will be fine for gaming.
Yeah.
You know, it's great that we, you know, the reviews are out. Now we know. I still think it is great that AMD really, stepped up.
It's next level for them.
Yes.
It's actually, I mean, the fact that it still beats out Intel's most expensive parts in a lot of encoding is very impressive. But it does explain why AMD went with a even more reserved price than we kind of thought. I would say we all thought it was going to be more than 500, right?
Yes.
So like that's super reserved, and it is this the dual kind of headed nature of it that yes, it encoding in lots of multi-threaded tasks, it's very good. Even when it's beat out in the core count by Intel, it does better. But if you can't do something like run a game, what good is it, sort of?
Yeah.
To most people. Most people, you know, you got to be able to do everything with it, right?
Yeah, well, the thing is that if I'm going to get better performance from the Intel chip, and in my opinion, the Intel boards, the Z270 boards, have more features than the AM4 boards currently.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to move to AMD. Especially even though we're finding boards, AM4 boards that were like, oh, this looks really good, it's kind of still like this looks really good for AMD, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, I have three of the top Z270 boards here, and all the AM4 boards don't compare to them. As far as feature set, they don't.
So they're good, but they're not there.
Yeah, so I think that, again, if, you know, we'll see how the architecture matures as far, you know, and things can change, obviously.
I wouldn't buy right now, though, thinking that it's going to.
Correct. If you're buying a Ryzen chip, it's either one, you do have a good performing chip.
Yeah,
no question. It's not a bad chip.
Even if you look at the gaming reviews, it's not that you're not gaming, right?
Yeah. And again, these performance results, your gaming performance is 90% of it is based on your graphics card. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You do see, like, for instance, in Battlefield 1 on the Hardware Canucks review, a 10 frame per second difference.
Yeah.
Which... not a big deal because we're talking about 117 to 127 frames, something like that. I mean, unnoticeable, essentially.
Yeah, but I mean, if you drop that down, I don't know what they were testing.
30 and 40.
You want 40 over 30 for sure.
Exactly. So that's something you have to consider. If you're rocking a GTX 1080, you're not going to have an issue. Unless you're going up to 4K where the performance was better, but
that's what I was curious about. I haven't looked at 4K. I've got to imagine 3D or Guru 3D has 4K testing.
They should. I forget which ones that I kind of did all my research on. I know Nantech does. You gotta find them, but
because that's what's more interesting to me. Yeah. 1080. I mean, okay, yes, 100%. 1080p is the most used resolution in gaming, no doubt, no argument. But we all know where the future is, right?
Yeah, but I mean, so, for gamers now, that's a big deal.
Yeah, but guys that are looking for ultimate performance, I think that they're all in the 4K, right? Or at least 1440p.
Yes,
I would think. Yeah, you bump up to 1440p, and it is up right up there.
Yeah, so I mean, the big issue is the 1080p gaming, and that's kind of where there's been tons of stories about it. And AMD says they're working on it with developers and things like that. We'll have to see. It's just it's a maturity thing. Just like any new architecture, it has to mature. It comes down to everything. It comes down to even the overclocking and everything. It has to mature, you know, and things have to be improved. That's just how it works. That's how computers work.
Yeah, and I mean, one game might run terribly on it, one game runs better.
Yeah. So, but again, I think that's, at the end of the day, it's a great chip. It's definitely a step in the right direction for AMD. I wouldn't say it's not even remotely close to being a failure.
No, it did seemingly negatively affect their stocks, though.
Yes.
Or maybe not, but maybe, but there's a pretty strong correlation there.
Yes. So when the reviews came out, their stock went down. But again, you know, it's all on your what you're going to be using it for. But the thing is, the big thing that AMD did is they targeted this directly for gamers. I mean, that was their big target for these chips.
A lot of custom systems with these chips.
Yeah. So, again, I would say right now, if you're buying a chip today and you're gaming, 7700K. If you're video editing, photo editing type CPU intensive, I would say...
Yeah, if you do anything that's heavily multi-threaded.
I would say you can get an 1800X for the same price as 7700K, and you're going to get far better CPU, multi-threaded CPU performance.
So where do you... What do you choose if it falls in between? I'm a photo editor, and I game on occasion. What part do I buy?
This breaks it down to a different question. What graphics card are you using? What resolution are you gaming in?
4K. Okay. And a 970.
Ooh.
It does fine. I don't know what you're oohing about.
Because you probably don't have everything turned up. Or you're playing an old game. You're playing Battlefield 4.
It does fine, Bob.
it's a tough decision for a lot of people, and it also comes down to what features do you want on your motherboard. I mean, you know, there's so much.
Well, we don't need to talk about the rest of that. What chip? What's going to be the stronger chip, regardless of what else you have?
I mean, when it comes to gaming, the 7700K is going to... I don't know. It's really tough, and like, I mean,
I actually think that you should get the 1800X, personally. I believe that. Because I think anybody that's doing any real editing, they should be on 4K. Because why would you not? And then that person's also gaming on 4K, so your performance is going to be more equal. And it's not like the gaming results on
the... Yeah, they're not horrible.
...are that horrible.
Yeah,
not losing much, and I even if it doesn't get better, I think that that's the way to go.
Yeah, I think if you're kind of don't know yet, wait for it to mature a little bit. Maybe give it a month. If that's a hard thing to do, especially if you're thinking about buying a new system. But
yeah, if you need to build, that's really tough.
Yeah, but So Ryzen's here. I think I think it's good. I think we have another player. At least
I think that it got the. I think it got Intel to drop their prices. I think that there's a $500 8 core available, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So talking about Intel, we'll segue into the next story. And this story came out late or over last weekend. So we're just talking about this week. But apparently, Intel was emailing tech media over Ryzen, reviews, and basically saying, call us before you write your review, which is pretty it's not surprising. There's been a lot of shady things that go on in the PR world.
They get a lot of public publicity though.
Yeah. You know, maybe Intel wanted to make sure people knew about the 1080p. I'm sure Intel knew the shortcomings of Ryzen, whatever they had maybe. Intel definitely had their hands on chips. And
is it not really interesting that everybody happened to have a pretty thorough 1080p test?
Hey, you never know.
That was probably Intel being like, make sure you test on 1080p.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
it ended up being the story from the Ryzen launch, right?
Yeah, that was the story. So yeah, I mean, that could have been it. But I think I like stories like this because it makes it juicy and interesting, not interesting, but it, you know what I mean? It just, it's that
to
drama.
Me, it gives more validity to AMD.
Yeah.
That Intel isn't just straight up competing. They're trying to kind of work the deal.
Yeah. So, very interesting. So we'll move on. That was just a quick little story, but
yeah,
we'll move on.
We don't even know what they said to him actually. So
yeah, so we didn't get any. We work with Intel on their processor reviews, and they didn't contact us at all. Although we didn't get our Ryzen chip either. So
perhaps they knew that.
There's actually a good amount of people that didn't get Ryzen chips for some reason. Yes, I do. At least 4 people I know.
Okay.
Who work for much larger sites than us did not get their Ryzen chips either. Yeah,
low supply perhaps.
I don't know. There's some very small sites that got all 3 chips. So it's all in the industry. It's all about who you know and how good your relationship is. Put it that way.
Sure. Yeah.
Talking our last Ryzen AM4 story is that. BioStar showed off the first mini ITX AM4 motherboard. So that's something we haven't seen. All the AM4 boards that were released are all ATX or micro ATX. We have not seen a mini ITX. And this one is, I think, one thing, BioStar, you hear BioStar, you're like, eh, whatever. But with Z270 and with AM4, they're really trying to invent themselves as a player or more of a player. So it's a cool little board. One thing that was interesting is that it only has a 4 pin for the CPU, and it supports all Ryzen CPUs, but I don't know how well like the XFR and all that other stuff will work with such a small power input. That's the only thing.
It's only looks like it's only a 5 phase too.
It's a 7 phase.
Those 2 more
at
the back there. Okay.
Yes. But yeah. That's something, you know, but it's cool to see that we will see these mini ITX, because that was a huge thing for Intel when mini ITX started becoming really big, because you could build a nice little gaming rig at a small form factor.
Yeah. Well, and you could still do overclocking and stuff because you had plenty of power.
Yeah. So cool little board. It is called the BioStar Racing X370 GTM. Yes.
I think that I don't know, when you call something racing,
that's their whole thing. Kind of,
yeah,
so that's their
board still.
Yeah, so that's their whole thing. They did it with Z270 as well. That's like their thing. It's better than what we've seen from them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But
if you're gonna try to go for it, you know, just copy your competitors. Put shrouds on everything, you know.
Yeah, well, this is the mini ITX as well, so
that's fine.
Yeah,
EVGA has been putting shrouds on the IO for like 4 years on their minis.
True. But cool to see. I assume we will see other mini ITX from the big players, Asus, MSI, and Gigabyte.
We'll see. I'd hope so.
Yeah, so it just brings more, it gives more choice, you know, because there are people, I want to build a mini ITX system, and currently you only have one choice. If you want the BioStar, but you'll have more choice, which is cool. So we'll go over to the GDC news and the two big events. We had the AMD's Caspian event, and we had the GTX 1080 launch. So we'll talk about the Caspian event. And there was some news that came out. We weren't shown Vega. We weren't shown the card. There was no announcement of a card, so that was kind of disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the really cool things, and I think this is really cool because this is never, we've never seen this, is that AMD showed off a demo where they had dual RX 480s running,
mm-hmm.
and on Sniper Elite 4 with a 100% scaling. And if you don't know what scaling is, just a quick little thing, is that if I have one GPU installed and then I get a second GPU, if I'm running 30 frames a second, if I put a second one in, I should run at 60 frames a second. That's 100% increase. And if, in the past, both with NVIDIA and AMD, if you added a second card, you never got 100% scaling. It just never... Especially with AMD, it was never close.
Really though, take it a step back, though, is really that you're getting 100% utilization out of both cards. The problem with scaling is that it doesn't split evenly, and both cards don't actually run at full speed. You don't get 100% utilization, so you know it results in the doubling of the frames. But really, scaling is talking about the actual cards actually running at their full output.
Gotcha.
So like back in like the, gosh, it's weird to say, but back in the like the quad SLI days, like you'd go from like tri up to quad, and you'd actually like barely improve in performance because it just couldn't split the I guess it would be the screen rates between the cards evenly. I know that's not the right thing, but essentially, you know, like it doesn't evenly go, okay, you've got four GPUs and then this one does that frame and then 1, 2, 3, 4 frames and then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
yeah,
5, 6, 7, 8, you know, it wouldn't actually evenly split it out like that.
Yeah, so I think this is from that their entire event, I think this was the biggest story for me. You know, because again, it's just one game showing, and they obviously worked with the developer of Sniper Elite to do this, but this just shows that it is possible, in that once we get future optimizations, you know, having this RX 480, which by no means is a top of the end card, but you can get two for a lower cost than a 1080 and get the same performance.
Yeah.
You know,
that's always been the thing though, right?
Yeah. You know, so I think that's really cool. And it's the first time we've seen 100% GPU scaling, really.
Yeah. NVIDIA is pretty close in SLI. It's like probably like 90 to 95%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But it also, you know, you mentioned the game itself being optimized. That's extremely important in scaling.
Yes.
Probably more so than like how well your cards, SLI or Crossfire together.
Yeah, so that was the big thing that they talked about, was that, you know, the software, DX12 and Vulkan make a big difference.
If it's on AMD's side where it's not the game itself, it's the drivers and the software, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
perhaps that's what they're. Is that what this is more about?
Yes.
Okay.
That's how they were able to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You know, because this would have been a thing when the RX 480 was first announced. That like, oh yeah, you can do it. But no, this is all done with software.
Cool.
And just optimizing and all of that. And they said it would never have been possible without low level APIs like DX12 and Vulkan. Mm-hmm. It's just like this is one case, but again, as the future comes on and we're years down the line and you know, 2 years from now, you'll know that you'll get 100% GPU scaling. This is kind of how it started, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. The second thing that they announced, which I thought was a decently big deal, was they're going to introduce a game rendering streaming type service, much like NVIDIA's GeForce Now, which you and I got to play with.
Which at is actually CES. Pretty cool.
Yeah, so basically what these gaming or streaming services are is that if you're a gamer but you have an Ultrabook, or if you want to do some gaming and you don't have a powerful system, basically you can rent a GPU in a data center, in that your game will be streamed to your system. And if you have a decent enough, as I would expect most people these days, to have a decent enough internet connection, you'll be able to basically play the game in real time. It's the game is basically streamed to you.
What are they? Well, at least on the NVIDIA side, they were saying that even if it's not, your connection doesn't have to be like crazy good either. It even relatively decent allows you to play multiplayer.
Yeah. So with NVIDIA's thing, you had it was like between a 1080 and a 1070 that you could rent.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the pricing, but this is AMD is doing this with a company called Liquid Sky. And they'll be using Vega-based GPUs. So obviously this isn't 100% operational right now, but pretty cool. So you get your choice. If you want to do this, you can do it with AMD. You can do it with NVIDIA. So pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. No word on pricing or what it would be, but I would assume they're going to make it competitive with NVIDIA. And then the last story from the Caspian event is we know the Radeon RX naming. So a lot of people had speculated that it's just going to be like the RX 5 whatever, but it's not. Because Vega is the high-end product, it's going to be called Radeon RX Vega. So any card that comes out is going to be called Radeon RX Vega whatever. Or just simply, there might just be one card and it will be called Radeon RX Vega.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. At least you know exactly what architecture you're running.
Yeah, so that's that's how they're going to kind of change it. You know, kind of that's what it's going to be called for all this wondering. And then we'll go back to what we talked about with the so the Radeon RX 500 series, which is expected to come out this year. More or less, from what we've heard, it is going to be a rebrand of the RX 400 series. In a typical rebrand, you'll just see boosted clock speeds. So basically, the RX 580 will be a rebrand of the current RX 480, 570, current RX 470, blah, blah, blah. Which is disappointing, but again, you know, you have to remember, you're not going to get a new architecture every year.
Yeah.
That's just not how it works. We wish it did, but it's not. And again, the RX 500 series is going to be completely different than the RX Vega series.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for the high end, hopefully we'll see a competitive high end card from AMD. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yes.
I think that we'll see a competitive card. But I think that NVIDIA will probably quickly have the next generation ready for it.
Yeah. So moving over to NVIDIA side, they had their GeForce gaming event. And at that event, they announced the GTX 1080 Ti, which people have been expecting for a while now. The card has 3,584 CUDA cores, 11 gigabytes of GDDR5X, running at 1100 megahertz, and has a base clock of 1480 megahertz and boosts up to 1600 megahertz.
Dang.
So it's based on the same silicon as the Titan X, the GP102, and it's 35% faster than the GTX 1080. It has a new redesigned power design, TDP of 220 watts, and the redesigned power design actually makes it run cooler. Nice. So you could do some pretty high end overclocks, and it's the exact same price as it's $699, which was the exact same price as the 1080 was.
Right.
So they dropped the 1080 down to $499, which is very competitive.
Yeah, I think that the pricing is actually accurate, more like what it should have been the whole time.
Yeah, so most people expected the TI to be $1,000.
Yeah, that would have been foolish.
Yes, especially with Vega coming out, I think that you know that NVIDIA is preparing for that, so they're pricing the card correctly.
Yeah, pricing the card to sell, essentially, because I think at $1,000, you have people hesitate to actually purchase
And it. One thing that's really interesting about this card is the stock or Founders Edition does not have the $100 premium.
Oh.
Like all the other cards did.
Yeah, they need to get rid of that. That was stupid.
Yeah. So it is here. It's exciting. And
it's cool. I like that the power design is actually redesigned.
They redesigned and they added faster GDDR5X as well.
Yeah. So it's I mean, so many times we just see kind of like it's just spruced up. Essentially, it's just the clocks are cranked up on some of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's nice that this is actually redesigned.
Yes. So talking about that, we actually picked up on a story, I think it was in December, or September. That's the first time we heard of the GTX 1080 Ti. It was actually in a LinkedIn job posting.
Oh, yeah.
And in that job posting, it was a job posting by NVIDIA, talked about a step-up offer, and they actually offered this in the past. Basically, a step-up offer would be if you had a GTX 980 Ti, and you wanted to get a 1080 Ti, you could trade in your 980 Ti and get a significant discount off of the 1080 Ti. And this step-up offer was mentioned in this job posting for some reason. but the it seems like there's no step-up offer right now. And that kind of makes sense because, again, most people expected the 1080 Ti to be released for $1,000, and obviously it's $699. So that step-up offer probably won't ever come to light because of the aggressive pricing of the card, which obviously has a lot to do with AMD coming out with Vega.
Yeah. I'm not sure because it's been a while, but EVGA had their own step-up program. So if you're an EVGA owner, you might still be able to do that.
Yeah, you'd have to see, because obviously the aggressive pricing affects third-party sellers as well. So,
yeah, but I mean, they always had it. You could always, if your card was within a certain age, you could turn it back in. And,
yeah, I would definitely look into that.
Yeah, because this card is pretty sweet.
Yeah, nice card. So, also at their events, NVIDIA said that there'll be new GTX 1080s and 1060s with faster memory. So they, just like I said, the GTX 1080 Ti has faster GDDR5X running at 11 gigabits a second. There'll be new 1080 Ti or new 1080s that come out that will have this 11 gigabit GDDR5X up from 10 gigabits. So basically they're going to it's not going to be a new card or anything like that, but it'll be like an overclocked version, blah, blah, blah.
The newer parts will just come out with the newer memory.
Yeah. And same thing with the GTX 1060 6 gigabyte. It will have faster 9 gigabits up from 8 gigabits of GDDR5 on it. So
just make sure you're not buying old stock.
Yes. So you'll get a slight memory boost, which is cool. You know, so it's a little different from NVIDIA. I think when they announced like the TIs, they redesigned a lot of stuff on the card. Especially the power design helps everything out. They've added faster memory, which is different. You know, typically they just take the higher end silicon, cut it down, and that's what you have. So. And then finally, we saw a lot of GTX 1080 Ti's announced or shown or teased or whatever.
Third party.
Yes, third party. So the one that caught my attention the most was actually EVGA's. It's their GTX 1080 Ti for the Win 3. And this thing looks awesome.
It's pretty. It's a cool render.
Yeah, so this will be their super high-end GTX 1080 Ti. It uses their new ICX cooling solution, which we got a little sneak peek of at CES. It looks awesome. We expect it to have a decent, pretty high overclock.
I would think so.
on it, and especially with that redesigned power design, you'll see higher overclocks from third parties like EVGA.
Even with that massive 1600 boost clock.
You know, that's how they were able to achieve that higher boost clock as well. So
so that's a more stable card.
Yeah, so that's the one that caught my attention, so I want to talk about it really quick. But
that's pretty cool.
We'll see a lot of GTX 1080 Ti custom versions come out here in the next coming weeks. So yeah, cool nice. Stuff. Yeah, it's been an exciting week. There's so much to talk about, really. Ryzen, all the AMD stuff from their events, NVIDIA stuff. I mean, it's a good week for tech stuff, so.
Yeah, I mean, essentially it's the week we've been waiting for months. So.
Yeah, this is a big week, so it's kind of, once it's over, you're like, oh, no good tech news anymore.
Well, I mean, we got Vega coming still.
So
there's that.
Yeah, so we had a bunch of good weeks leading up to this, a bunch of really great tech news. So hopefully we'll have a lot more stuff on Vega as we get closer and the other stuff that's coming. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week. And I will be looking at the EVGA Z270 Classified K motherboard. That is EVGA's highest end Z270 board. Has everything on it. It's a great board. It's actually sitting next to me in test bench. I'm doing my overclocking testing and then I'll be done with it. So
nice.
Really cool board. Again, it's just their highest end Z270 board. So we will have that for you. And then you'll be taking a look at the NZXT Kraken X62.
Yes.
And that is
X52. So you probably are familiar, and it's been out for a little while.
Yeah, that's the 240.
It's a 280.
280.
The X62 is the 280 with the Infinity Mirror on the pump. It's a really cool cooler.
Nice.
Definitely worth checking the review out.
Cool. So we will have all of that, and then we'll also have, since we are starting a new month here, we'll have our worst PC setups, which is always good to laugh at people's PC setups.
It's always good to laugh at people.
Yeah, and feel bad for them. So as always, at the end of the podcast we talk about what we have going on, or if we did anything cool this week. Did you do anything cool?
Nah,
nothing.
I don't think so.
It's one of those
played same old game, and
same old Battlefield 4. Somebody has to get Derek off Battlefield. You got to get him a new game.
I've been thinking about this. I don't understand why I'm not allowed to play the same game. Tons of people do that.
We're gonna make a go.
You guys do that.
Yeah.
You've been playing Gears for months.
I like Gears. Okay. It's just newer, but your game's really old.
They haven't made one worth replacing it.
Yeah, I played Battlefield 1. It's
not worth it.
I didn't really play online though. I played story mode. But yeah. I think we need a new
I like modern shooters, so.
Yeah. Well,
anyway,
the new Ghost Recon coming out? Or there was a
there's a new Tom Clancy coming out.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not a fan of those games, so.
Yeah.
But anyways, this week I got a new camera.
Oh, yeah.
I got the Sony A6300, which will obviously improve our video content as well as everything else. So been meaning to upgrade my camera for a while, and I kind of just, you know, bit the bullet and bought it. So
a sick camera.
Yeah, so that gives us 4K video. This is much better quality than my current setup that I had. So I've shot a lot of stuff, so you won't see videos using it for a couple weeks, but all new products will be shot with it. So
nice.
Pretty excited for it. And it's just a learning process, right? Because it's obviously much different than my current setup. I've been just online doing a bunch of tutorials and kind of learning how to, the best settings for video and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, good.
Yeah, so cool. Pretty pumped for that. And so yeah, that's pretty much what I did this week. And
I remembered I did do something, or I found something. I started listening to a new podcast, which has actually been around for forever. The Nerdist podcast. You ever heard of that?
I've heard of the Nerdist, but not the podcast.
It's actually a website, a pretty legit website. But they've got a podcast. Chris Hardwick who is the comedian and the host of several shows, including At Midnight on okay. Comedy Central. It's his podcast. They have like 800 episodes or whatever. So it's like been around for years, but it's just like all kinds of like pop culture people, like real celebrities and stuff. And he's just a really good interviewer.
Nice. And
so it's just interesting. The people, like when he gets them like comfortable and they just like talk, and it's not like any like interviews you've ever heard. So
cool. I'll have to check that out then.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, as I always say, we have our full list of show notes. So as we're talking about things, you can go ahead and click through and get better detail, and obviously check out the reviews and everything like that. And on iTunes and all of your podcasting software, it is Think Computers, all one word. Also, guys, let us know how the audio is on this. I think we fixed it. Last week was pretty bad. A lot of people complained. So hopefully we fixed the audio on this so it sounds better. So definitely let us know. And if you know, want to leave a comment on Facebook or on just on the website, just definitely let us know. So until next week, catch you guys later.